On this episode of the Girl Talk podcast,
when I started giving him more freedom, his defenses came down. And all of a sudden, not only was he doing the things that I had asked him to do, he was doing them on his own, like cleaning his room. When I told him he didn't have to clean his room, you know what he did? He cleaned his room.
Hello there. You are listening to the Girl Talk podcast. My name is Carol.
I'm Kelly.
Hey, I'm Trisha.
And we're so glad you are here today. You ever heard the term in the thick of it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, we in
sounds
the
like
thick,
bushes.
Yeah, we in the thick of it today because we are talking about a topic that all three of us, we just are standing around scratching our heads.
Yep.
We're talking about parenting teenagers. Dun, dun, dun. If you're a teenager and you're listening, we love you so much.
We do.
And we want to get this right. Yeah, we want to get this right, but I don't know about y'all, but I have no clue what I'm doing. I'll just go ahead and admit that 100%.
Right. Oh, my word. This is the perfect example that you don't have to know what to do about it to talk about it.
That's exactly
you
right.
can just talk about it.
And I'm sure our parents were the exact same way when we were teenagers.
I don't know.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I didn't see that from my parents. I mean,
they just hid it better?
They seemed to know what they were doing.
I was such a good kid, you know?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. You're just getting yours back, Carol.
So, I told somebody one time, I said, if I'd have known I was going to have to raise myself, I'd have been a better kid.
Accurate. Yep.
So let's talk about what are the biggest struggles that you guys see with struggling teens?
That we are dealing with?
Yeah.
That our teens are dealing with?
So if you're new to the podcast, I have a girl. Trisha and Kelly both have boys, so this is
all
gonna
teenagers.
Be, yes,
yeah.
Nobody has a girl to commiserate with me yet. So, I mean, not that you're going to get a girl unless there's something you need to tell us.
Nope, nothing to talk about.
Okay,
God so, knew I could not handle it. You are a strong woman, Carol.
I don't
because I am. That boys. I mean, teenage boys are hard enough, but teenage girl. I remember being a teenage girl, and I was terrible. I can only imagine how difficult parenting a teenage girl would be. So I love you.
I don't remember being terrible, but if I won't say that, that's mean, but I'm getting it back. Yeah, I should put it that way. So what are teens struggling with today? I think identity's big one.
Am I worthy?
Sure. Yeah.
Am I worthy? Just right. I mean, I think it's the same things that all of us are dealing with. Am I worthy? Do I belong?
Yeah.
Do I fit in? Am I cool enough?
Who am I? What do I do? What am I good at?
Yeah. Like,
what can I be known for?
Finding your place in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What can I do to get noticed?
Yeah.
Yeah. How can I feel safe?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can I talk about this resource that you gave me here? Trisha shared with me a resource that she would, and then I shared it with Kelly. That I'd never heard of this book before. Had you heard?
My friend shared it with me. I think it's relatively new, but okay. I don't know the answer.
It's called "Feeding the Mouth That Bites You," which is the most appropriate title ever
awesome?
Of a parenting book.
And the cover of the book is funny too. It's got a great picture.
Yeah, the only second best title would be "Crying and Eating Chocolate in the Pantry."
That's the parent edition.
Yeah, the parent edition. So it's been a great resource for me in helping me understand kind of the process that they go through and how they think and da-da-da-da-da. Now, that doesn't mean all of our parenting issues are gone or the struggle is gone, but it is, you know, a good resource that kind of tells you the premise of the book is that every year we need to be giving our kids more freedom, not less. So that they're ready when they leave the nest. And that is so stinking hard.
So hard.
Especially when you don't think they're ready for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially when they keep proving they're not ready for it.
You know, you gather around them in the hospital and you look over into that little crib and think, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Hold on to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Enjoy.
Take a picture.
Yeah. Take a
little
picture.
Video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, and so
buckle up, buttercup, it gets rougher.
Yeah, so this book basically says more and more freedoms as they get older. Mm-hmm. And it is hard to trust God in that process, for me anyway. I don't know about y'all.
Absolutely.
But to trust that, hey, they're going to make mistakes.
They're going to be okay.
I think that's the first thing that I wish somebody had told me. You know, I heard somebody say, we didn't need that book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. We need What to Expect When They Turn 13.
Yeah.
I would add it needs to be 11, but that's just me. So I think my expectation was that they would not make bad decisions. They would always make good decisions.
Guided
DNA,
by you.
The DNA, yeah. The DNA of my kid just makes her born to make bad decisions. But anyway, so I think that was my first thing. But a friend of mine years ago shared this with me, and I thought, I don't know if that's true or not, but I think it is true. I was teaching Ella how to roller skate. Can I roller skate? No, I cannot. I mean, I can stand on skates and move somewhat before I fall. That's not skating. I can't skate. So I realized that my job in teaching Ella how to skate wasn't to teach her how to skate. It was to teach her how to fall so she didn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends said to me, that's your job as a parent, is to teach her how to fall. And I was like, that sounds good. And it would be really cool on a poster. But I'm not sure it's true in practical terms. But I think it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think our job is to teach them how to fall. Because if we don't, they will turn to other things when they do fall. But we all want to protect our kids and keep them from being hurt.
It means they're going to fall.
Yeah.
And can I lay down a really cushy mattress? So if you, when you do fall, you don't get hurt. Because I love you so much. And I don't want you to go through the issues I went through.
Yeah.
I don't want you to fall and hit
your
head like I fell and hit my head when I was a teenager.
Right. When you don't have to.
Right. Just listen to me, son, and I will tell you all the things that you need to know.
All the things. Well, speaking about what you're talking about with the freedoms thing, that book was really revelatory to me because it suggested that teenagers are ready for more independence than we give them. Mm. And this problem that we've had with teenagers, the teenage angst, is a relatively new problem because it used to be several hundred years ago that teenagers were already working and getting married and becoming productive members of society. But as culture has it now, they're sort of in this in-between phase until they sort of launch once they graduate high school or get to a certain age. But this time before that is when they're struggling to know what to do, and we're not giving them enough freedom to be able to move down the direction of maturity. Mm. And so this book is suggesting that, yes, you give freedoms one by one, maybe even before you think they're ready for them.
Yeah.
Because the way they become ready for freedom is getting it.
Yeah.
And so that has taken a lot of faith. And it means that you must trust that God loves them and has a plan for them. Mm. And letting them fall without the cushy mat, knowing that you can't pray them through the mistakes that God's using to shape them, is the tough part about that.
Yeah.
But when they fall, when they're in your home and you can help them recover, that's a lot better than falling in a major way, landing in jail or something of that nature.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that's just hit me, it's a revelation. I don't want my kid to grow up, because if my kid grows up, he's not going to need me anymore.
That's how I feel about my youngest.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give you freedoms. I don't want to give you more freedoms, because the more freedoms you have, the more grown up you're going to become. And the more grown up you're going to become, the less you're going to need me. And then what is my purpose?
Yeah.
Who am I if I'm not the one who tells you need to brush your teeth at night and, you know, go to sleep at a decent hour? And, what does that say about me?
No, well, I don't think you're alone in that.
That's
I don't
true.
Think you're alone at all. He talks about in the book, become a judge, not a cop. And what he means by that is a lot of what I think I have always seen modeled and seen in parenting, you know, resources that I've read, is that you catch them doing something wrong, and that's what you're always doing, catching them doing something wrong.
Yes.
Well, with being a judge, You're not worried about catching them. You're worried about what happens when they come to you. Then you provide a sentence for them. So turning them loose with the freedom and letting them know that these are the consequences that are going to come if that doesn't happen. And so they know all that up front. And to get out of the power struggle of them wanting to be an individual and making bad decisions and basically getting out of God's way, which I think we want to stand in God's way and shape and mold our kids. That's God's job.
Right.
Now, can we provide resources and outlets and places for them to do that, absolutely. But ultimately, that's up to God. Mm-hmm. And no amount of me wagging my finger at my daughter is going to make her more godly. It's mm-hmm. just not.
That's mm-hmm. right. Yep. It's true.
One of my biggest issues with my son, my oldest, is that he won't talk to me. Won't talk. How are you doing? Fine. What's going on? Nothing. How's school? Fine. Yeah, literally one word answers to everything. I cannot get into that brain of his to find out what's going on. And as I was reading that book and trying to put some of those things into practice, I realized every interaction was either me asking him these one word questions or telling him, clean your room. It's time for bed. Put up the electronics. Have you brushed your teeth? Do you know what time it is? Are you going to be ready for this thing? And this was our only interactions, mm-hmm. was this kind of a thing.
Cop.
So when I started giving him more freedom, his defenses came down. Mm. And all of a sudden, not only was he doing the things that I had asked him to do, he was doing them on his own, like cleaning his room. When I told him he didn't have to clean his room, you know what he did? He cleaned his room.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But more than that was the ability to talk to him. All of a sudden, he's like, oh, you know what happened to me at school today? No, tell me. Yeah. Like conversations were happening that we haven't had in months. I could cry telling you about it. That's his defenses came down. My ability to converse with him opened up. And that is what parenting is. Sometimes I feel like parenting is providing those strict boundaries. Mm-hmm. But parenting is also speaking into their lives and their hearts in a relationship.
He also says in this book that most parents think that if they give them freedom, they give up the opportunity to influence their lives. And he says, actually, the converse is true. The more freedom that you give them, the more ability you have to speak into their life and choices because they talk to you more.
Because you're not always butting heads.
Yeah. So, it was counterintuitive for me because it went against everything that I'd ever thought, seen, modeled, whatever. And it's hard. It's still not easy. But the conversation piece is wow, because you have an opportunity to say, they come to you and say, you know, this is what happened at school today. How did you feel about that? How'd that make you feel? What are you going to do about that? Because it all of a sudden says, I'm not coming to mom to be my problem solver. I'm coming to mom for advice. But you don't give it if they don't ask. Mm-hmm. You continue to ask good questions and to lead them down that path. What are you going to do? I don't know. What do you think I should do? Well, if it was me, I think I would, you know, ask the teacher if you just misunderstood or if that was really, you know, what this test is going to be all about or. You know, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But really giving them responsibility. There still are limits, but there are consequences. They know what's going to happen if they don't meet the requirement. That's clearly laid out, written down somewhere where they can revisit it if they need to. Yep. But just the conversation piece is huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
Because they know that they don't have to tell you something.
Yeah.
And I've done that, but I've literally said, if you don't tell me about your day, I'm going to take away your phone.
Right.
Because I'm so desperate to hear about his day. But it was letting him have the power to ask me that then encouraged him to ask me.
Yeah.
Or talk to me.
I need to read this book.
It's a good book.
Because this is totally the opposite way that what I do with my child.
Clamp down, right?
It's a reminder, too, what I keep telling myself to make myself feel better is that, well, he needs to be reminded of how he should act. I need to tell him. Need to remind him because he's stupid and he's not going to remember. That is, of course, not true. I have told him 14,000 times and he's not a stupid kid.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing.
So I don't want you to think this is manipulation because it's not. It really is a communication skill, I think. But he says this, you're old enough now to take responsibility for your room, to figure out how, if you want to live in a dirty room, okay, you can live in a dirty room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it makes them feel empowered to make that decision.
Mm.
So you're old enough to makes them feel like, oh, I am old enough to decide if I want to, you know, have to go through piles of clothes to find the thing that I want to wear. Or you're old enough now to where if you want to you know,
have
wear
yellow,
the same shirt.
Have yellow teeth because you haven't brushed your teeth.
Yeah. Kelly,
no girl's going to want to kiss you.
Well, but that's it. Like if some you go to school and people don't want to talk to you because your breath is bad.
Yeah.
That's the kind of consequence. Yeah. It may be embarrassing. Yeah. It may be bad, but they won't forget it.
Yeah.
And it's a whole lot better than me going, I don't think you brushed. I'm feeling your toothbrush, and it's dry.
So my life.
I've done that. I've done it.
Yes. Stand here. I am going to brush your teeth for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I did when you were six.
And he said, the guy says, if you do these things, it will take away the arguing in your house and the constant. Because I don't know about y'all, but I just feel like everything's an argument.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, but I started doing this and like, you're old enough to decide that. Like, that's not up to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was scary. Trisha and I were texting about it. I was like, oh my word, what is this going on? You know, because the conversation that it starts and the ways that it opens them up, it's like unlocking a door.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, this is not. Yeah. This is not as hard as I thought. But, you think about when we were kids, when we were growing up, what do we want? I can't wait till I turn 16. I can't wait till I'm 21. Yeah. I can't wait till I'm 18.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't wait till I'm 20 and I can do whatever I want. And now I can do whatever I want and I just want to go to bed. but, you know, it's always that next milestone. You want to be grown up. You want to be older than you are. You want to have more responsibility. Mm. It makes total sense that that's where they're at. They don't want to be, you know, micromanaged, for lack of a better term. I'm not saying you take your hands off completely and you use your influence to still build into them godly principles and things that you believe in. But ultimately, you move out of the way. And I was in the way. That was my big problem.
Yeah.
I'm still in
really
the way.
It really is best done in conversation.
Sure.
And not in rules and finger wagging and, you know, dictating something.
Here's the other thing too. You cannot, he said this, is you can't be with kids all the time. You just can't. Yeah. It's impossible.
Nor
for
do
you
we
to
want to really
monitor them all the time.
I want to be in math class.
They have devices.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't monitor even the best parental software. I'm not saying you shouldn't have it, but even the best parental software misses stuff from time to time.
Sure. Yes.
Yep.
And so because you can't be with them all the time, you don't know when they break the rule or not. But if they get in trouble for it, you don't go rescue them.
And that's a big piece of this.
Yeah.
You don't rescue them.
Yeah.
You don't. And he, for example, you can keep your room as clean or as dirty as you want, but it's your responsibility to do your laundry. And they suggested you're having coffee at the breakfast table and your child runs in grabbing the shirt. This is my band shirt. It's got to be ironed before today in like 30 minutes. And you finish your coffee and go, bummer. What are you going to do about that? Mm-hmm. I'm finishing my coffee. Right. So it does take the agreement with yourself that you will not rescue them. Because exactly, so the next time they're going to realize that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when they're not with you, they're going to remember that. You're teaching them the skills that they need. But you can't rescue them.
It was weird. Mm. It was weird when we started in this because my daughter's cheerleader and she has all her cheer stuff that she needs. And so she started doing her own laundry and she was like, Mom, I just wanted to talk to you about something. I'm like, okay. She goes, what I've done is like after I wash my cheer uniform, I was like, okay, first of all, pause that. after I wash my cheer uniform, I put it all in my duffel bag so that all I have to do on game days is pick it up and go.
Well, that's like, brilliant.
I was like, is somebody punking me? Because, you know, usually it's, what have you done with my whatever piece she's missing?
Mm-hmm. And you could have told her that 500 times.
500 times. I've said that. I was like, why don't you put all your stuff together so when you game day, and then she comes in and she's like, oh, I had this great idea. Like, what? Tell me. And I acted so excited about it. And I was like, geez, oh, Murgatroyd, I've told you that, you know, for 3 years.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, when it's their responsibility and they feel like they can be a little bit more grown up with it, it works.
And we are responsible for growing our kids to be responsible on their own. They should not be still sleeping on our couch at age 30. They should be living on their own, paying their own bills, you know, taking care of themselves. And the best way to get there is to help give them responsibility so that they can own their own destiny.
Yep.
And, you know, Kelly, they mentioned kids that have lived in very strict homes and lovingly tried to keep your kids from doing the wrong thing. They go to college. Guess what?
Wild.
They're the wildest ones.
Yeah.
Because they've never tasted freedom. They've never learned how to deal with it. And so the idea of this is you are preparing them.
Yep.
So they don't go hog wild mm-hmm. whenever they get the next the first opportunity.
God has a plan for your kids.
Yeah. He loves them.
Yeah. He loves them more than you do. Mm-hmm. I know you find that hard to believe, but it's true. He loves me and you more than we've ever been loved too. And he cares about your parenting and your frustrations. You can talk to him about that because you know what? He is the perfect father. Yeah. And when do we learn our lessons with God? When we go through difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
True. When we fall.
Yep.
Yeah, that is the time. So if you got questions, comments, we're going to list out some resources for you in the show notes so that you'll have those. And emails, we're always here for you. girltalk@thelightfm.org is our email address. And we'd love to hear from you on how you parent. So want to remind you about April the 8th. We're going to be doing the Carry Your Cross 5K at Pole Creek Church. We're going to have a Girl Talk team, and we would love for you to join us.
And bring your teenager.
Bring your teenager.
There you go. Give them the opportunity.
They can all roll their eyes at us together.
Like, yeah.
Who are these crazy people? We'll love on them, and we love our teenagers. We certainly do.
Sure.
We wouldn't talk about them if we didn't care about them.
Sure.
So just know that. We'd love to have you join us at Pole Creek on April the 8th. You do have to register, though. And when you register, you'll give us the details for your exclusive Girl Talk 5K shirt.
Ooh.
I'm so excited about these. I haven't even seen them yet. I hear they're very exciting.
Plus, you're going to get one from Pole Creek.
Yeah, so you're going to get two t-shirts for the price of one. And we can't wait to see you on April the 8th. So go register. If you'd like to do that, text the word RUN to 800-293-1069. We love you so much, and we can't wait to see you next time we gather around these microphones for the next Girl Talk podcast.